the obligation of searching the Scriptures. This sermon was first preached by George Whitefield in the late 1700s. Our text for today comes from the book of John, John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. When the Sadducees approached our blessed Lord and asked him, "Whose wife of the seven will she be?" For they all had married her. Jesus replied, "You are mistaken, because you do not understand the Scriptures." If we examine where all the errors have arisen and spread in the Church of Christ since its beginning, we would find that, to a large extent, they stem from the same source, the ignorance of the Word of God. Our blessed Lord, though he was the eternal God, was also a man, and he made the Scriptures his constant rule and guide. Therefore, when a lawyer asked him what was the greatest commandment in the law, he referred him to the Bible for an answer. What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And thus, when led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, he repelled all of his assaults with, "It is written." Some say the Spirit only, and not the Spirit by the Word, is to be our rule of action. If that is the case, our Savior, who had the Spirit without measure, did not always need to refer to the written Word. But how few follow the example of Christ? How many do not regard the Word of God at all, but dismiss the sacred revelations as an outdated book only suitable for uneducated men? Such individuals greatly err, not understanding what the Scriptures truly are. I shall therefore first show that everyone needs to search the Scriptures. Secondly, I will outline some guidelines for effectively searching the Scriptures to benefit from them. First, everyone must search the Scriptures. Everyone must search the Scriptures. By the Scriptures, I mean the Law and the Prophets, along with those books that have always been accepted as canonical, making up what is commonly known as the Bible. These are emphatically called the Scriptures, and in one case, the Scriptures of Truth, implying that no other books deserve the title of true writings or Scripture compared to them. They are not subject to any private interpretation, authority, or invention. Rather, holy men of old wrote them as the Holy Spirit moved them. The core of God's revelation to mankind is this: our fall through Adam and the need for our new birth in Christ Jesus. If we study the Scriptures properly, we will find that their main message, the beginning and the end, leads us to understand these two essential truths. All the threats, promises, and precepts, along with all the exhortations and doctrines contained within, as well as the rites, ceremonies, and sacrifices prescribed by Jewish law, indeed, almost all the historical parts of the Holy Scripture, point to our fallen state in Adam, directing us towards a mediator to come, or referencing him as already present in the flesh. If man had remained in a state of innocence, he would not have needed an external revelation, as God's law was deeply rooted in the workings of his heart. However, after eating the forbidden fruit, he provoked God's anger and lost the ability to fully reflect his divine image and likeness. Consequently, without an external revelation, he could never understand how God could be reconciled to him, or how he would be saved from the misery and darkness of his fallen nature. That these truths are true, I need only refer you to your own hearts. Unless we are fallen creatures, where do those terrible depravities that arise daily in our hearts come from? These corruptions cannot come from the hands of our Creator, for He, being goodness itself, could not create anything other than what is like Himself, holy, just, and good. Our desire to be freed from these vices in our nature is clear, as we find an unwillingness within ourselves to admit that we are so depraved, constantly trying to present to others a very different mindset and temperament than what we truly have. I appeal to the experience of the most learned rival against divine revelation, who finds within himself that he is naturally proud, angry, revengeful, and full of other passions contrary to the purity, holiness, and forgiveness of God. Is this not evidence that he has fallen from God in some way? I also believe that when he finds these harmful desires in his heart, he does not strive to appear friendly, courteous, kind, and easygoing. This seems to be obvious proof that he is aware of his misery and desires, and that he does not know how to be redeemed or delivered from it. Here, God's Word intervenes, opening the heart to recognize the divine love and infinite goodness found in the Holy Scriptures. Men with corrupt and reprobate minds, like many modern deists, acknowledge the existence of a Creator based on reason, but reject belief in a supernatural deity who interacts with humans. What does God, in His written word, do but reveal how far you have fallen into that blindness, darkness, and misery that you are aware of and condemn? At the same time, He shows the way to be redeemed from it by believing in and following Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, these two truths form the foundation of all divine revelation. They are given to us solely to demonstrate our misery and happiness, our fall and restoration, or in a single word, how we died in Adam and how in Christ we can be made alive again. Therefore, the Scriptures must be studied because they are the great promise of our salvation. The revelation of a covenant God made with humanity in Christ, and a light to guide us on the path to peace. Everyone is required to read and examine them because all people have strayed from God and need to understand how they can be restored to and reunited with Him. How foolishly the arguing infidels of this generation act as they continually call for signs from heaven or seek outward evidence to prove the truth of divine revelation. What they earnestly seek is near, no, within them. They cannot help but feel what they desire if they consult their own hearts. If they turn to the living Scriptures of God, they will discover a remedy for all their needs, and their written word precisely addresses the desire of their hearts. Where then is the scribe? Where is the wise one? Where is the hard reasoning of the debaters of this world? Has God not revealed Himself to them as plainly as their own hearts could wish? And yet they require a sign, but no other sign shall be given to them. If they do not believe a revelation so well suited to their needs, they will not be persuaded, even if one were to rise from the dead. However, this sermon is aimed more at those who know and believe that the Scriptures reveal God's message than at those who do not believe. It is their duty not only to read, but also to study the Scriptures. Our second point is to set some guidelines for studying the scriptures effectively for your benefit. First, always remember the purpose for which the scriptures were written, to show us the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, says our blessed Lord. It is these that testify about me. Always pay close attention to Christ in the scriptures. He is the treasure hidden in the field, found in both the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, you will discover him in prophecies, types, sacrifices, and shadows. In the New Testament, he is revealed in the flesh, becoming an atonement for our sins as a priest and as a prophet, revealing the whole will of his heavenly Father. Always keep Christ in focus when reading the Word of God. This will guide you to the Messiah like a star in the east, serve as a key to everything that is unclear, and unlock the wisdom and the riches of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Secondly, approach the scriptures with a humble, childlike mindset. Those who do not read the scripture with this mindset will certainly not understand the truths they contain. God hides his wisdom from those who are wise and self-important, revealing it only to new believers in Christ who hunger and thirst for righteousness and yearn for the pure milk of the Word, so that they can grow in their salvation. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. Imagine yourselves, then, while studying the Scriptures, especially the New Testament, as sitting with Mary at the feet of Jesus, and be as willing to learn what God will teach you as Samuel was when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Oh, that the unbelievers would demolish every proud thought and imagination that opposes the revealed will of God. Oh, that they would, like newborn babies, desire to be nourished with the pure milk of the Word. Then they would no longer mock divine revelation, nor would they read the Bible with the intent to ridicule it. Instead, they would see the divine image and Christ written on every line. They would hear God speaking to their souls through it, and as a result, be strengthened in the knowledge and fear of Him who is the author of the Word. Thirdly, study the Scriptures with sincere intent to apply what you learn. A desire to do God's will is the only way to truly know it. If anyone will do my will, says Jesus Christ, he shall know of my doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He also tells his disciples elsewhere, to you who are willing to practice your duty to search the Scriptures, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, who only want to criticize my doctrine, all these things come in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, causing them to believe what is false and concealing the knowledge of himself from all of them, because they do not seek the truth of God's Word. Jesus Christ remains the same now as he was before. For those who seek to know him through his Word and understand who he is, so that they may believe in him and live by him, to them he will reveal himself as clearly as he did to the woman of Samaria, when he said, "I who speak to you am he." or as he did to the man born blind, whom the Jews cast out for his belief in Jesus, when he said to him, "He is the one who is talking with you." However, to those who only consult his word without any desire to truly know Christ or obey his commandments, merely for entertainment or to mock the simplicity of the way he is revealed, I say he will never reveal himself, even if they search the scriptures for eternity. He never told those who questioned him out of curiosity or to find something to accuse him of whether he was the Messiah or not. Fourthly, to study the scriptures more effectively, apply everything you read to your heart. The content written in the book of God was intended for our learning. Furthermore, what Christ said to those in the past must be considered as spoken to us as well, since the Holy Scriptures are simply a revelation from God about how fallen man can be restored through Jesus Christ. All the precepts, warnings, and promises apply to us and our children, as well as to those to whom they were initially addressed. Thus the apostle, when he says that he lived by the faith of the Son of God, adds, "who died and gave himself for me." This application of Jesus Christ to our hearts makes his redemption effective for each of us. Applying the doctrinal and historical parts of Scripture when we read them makes them useful to us, as they are meant for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and to make every child of God perfect and thoroughly prepared for every good work. I appeal to the experience of every spiritual reader of the Holy Scriptures. Whether or not he has consulted the Word of God in this manner, he has not always, in all seasons, been as clearly guided as if he had consulted the Urim and Thummim, which were on the high priest's breast. For this is how God now reveals himself to man, not by making new revelations, but by applying the general truths already revealed to the heart of every sincere reader. And this, by the way, addresses an objection raised by those who say the Word of God is not a perfect rule of action, because it cannot tell us how to act or how to decide in specific cases, or what place to go to when we are in doubt, and therefore the Holy Spirit, not the Word, should be our rule of action. But I deny this and instead affirm that God, at all times, in every situation and place, no matter how small or specific, will, if we diligently seek His Holy Spirit's guidance, apply general truths to our hearts. In the words of Jesus, He will lead us into all truth and give us the specific help we need. But this leads me to a fifth tip for studying the Scriptures effectively. Seek to receive the Spirit through which they were written. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. The words that Christ has spoken are spirit and life. They cannot be understood by the natural man any more than a person who has never learned a language can understand someone speaking it. Therefore, the Scriptures are accurate and justified. Some have rightly compared them to the cloud that went before the Israelites. They are dark and difficult for the natural man to understand, just as the cloud appeared dark to the Egyptians. However, to Christians, they symbolize light and life, just as that same cloud, which seemed dark to Pharaoh and his household, appeared bright and glorious to the Israel of God. The lack of assistance from the Holy Spirit left Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel and a ruler of the Jews, completely unaware of the doctrine of regeneration. Being merely a natural man, he couldn't understand how it could be. The absence of the Spirit also led our Savior's disciples, despite his frequent teachings with them, to misunderstand the nature of what he conveyed daily. It's because the natural veil remains over their hearts that so many who now claim to search the Scriptures see nothing beyond the literal words and remain completely unfamiliar with the spiritual meaning hidden within every parable and in almost all the teachings of God's Word. Indeed, how could it be otherwise? Since God is a spirit, he can only communicate to the hearts of men in a spiritual way. Therefore, if we are strangers to his spirit, we must remain strangers to his word, for it is entirely like him, spiritual. Work hard and earnestly strive to obtain this blessed spirit. Otherwise, your understanding will never be open enough to understand the scriptures properly. Remember, prayer is one of the most direct ways to receive this Holy Spirit. Therefore, in the sixth place, I advise you to pray before reading the scriptures, asking that Christ, as he promised, would send his Spirit to guide you into all truth. Intermingle brief interjections as you read. Pray over every word and verse, if possible. And when you close the Bible, sincerely ask God that the words you have read may be deeply rooted in your hearts and produce the fruits of a good life in you. If you do this, you will, with sincere devotion, invite God's Holy Spirit into your hearts. You will experience his gracious influence and feel him enlightening, revitalizing, and igniting your souls through the Word of God. You will not only read, but also observe, learn, and internalize what you have read. The Word of God will truly be food and drink for your souls. You will then be like Apollos, powerful in the Scriptures, prepared and instructed scribes for the kingdom of God, bringing forth from the good treasures of your heart things from both the Old and New Testaments to share with everyone you meet. One more direction, the seventh and last, is to read the Scriptures constantly, or, using our Savior's expression in the text, search the Scriptures, to dig into them as if searching for hidden treasure. This vivid allusion to those who dig in mines teach us that we must be just as careful in constantly reading his word if we want to become wise through it as those who dig for gold and silver. The scriptures contain the deep things of God and can never be fully explored through careless, superficial, or cursory reading, but only through diligent, humble, and industrious effort. The psalmist describes a good man as one who meditates on God's law day and night. And this book of the law, says God to Joshua, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Therefore, study the scriptures, not only devoutly, but daily, because in them are the words of eternal life. Wait constantly at wisdom's gate, and she will then, and not until then, display and reveal to you her heavenly treasures. You who are rich are without excuse if you do not, and you who are poor should take note and make the most of the little time you have. For by the scriptures you are to be acquitted, and by the scriptures you are to be condemned at the last day. But perhaps you have no taste for this despised book, the Bible. Perhaps plays, romances, and books of polite entertainment suit your taste better. If this is the case, let me tell you that your taste is corrupted and depraved, and unless it is corrected by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you will never enter His heavenly kingdom. For unless you delight in God here, how will you be prepared to dwell with Him in the future? Is it a sin, then, to read useless, inappropriate books? I say yes. For the same reason, is it a sin to indulge in pointless conversation? Both immediately grieve and quench the Spirit by which we are sealed until the day of redemption. You might ask, how shall we know this? Well, follow the advice in the text. Search the Scriptures as recommended. And then you will see the danger, sinfulness, and inappropriateness of reading anything other than God's Word or writings inspired by that same Spirit. You might then say, when I was a child, unaware of the value of God's Word, I read what the world considers harmless books, like other children, despite my age. And I did so, and still do. But now I have tasted the good Word of life and come to a more perfect knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have put away those childish, trivial things and am determined to read only those books that lead me to understand myself and Christ Jesus. Search, therefore, the Scriptures, my dear brethren. Taste and see how good the Word of God is, and you will never leave that heavenly manna, that's angel food, to feed on dry husk, that light bread, or those trifling, sinful compositions in which men of false taste delight. No, you will then disdain such poor entertainment, and blush that you once were fond of it. The Word of God will then be sweeter to you than honey and the honeycomb, and dearer than gold and silver. Your souls, by reading it, will be filled, as it were, with marrow and fatness, and your hearts will be insensibly molded into the spirit of its blessed author. In short, you will be guided by God's wisdom here and conducted by the light of His divine word into glory hereafter. Amen.